Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Romans, which is before the book of Corinthians, which is what's marked here. It comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hear the word of the Lord. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, and what is acceptable, and what is perfect. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me this morning? Thank you, Lord, for this day that you've made. This Sabbath day that we set aside as a day of worship and a day of rest. We ask, God, that you would speak into our hearts in this time that we have with you and with one another, because your word is powerful. It is the truth, and it has the incredible power to set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. So this Lent season, I've been talking about toxic things, the toxic dynamic of the world in which we live. Toxins are those things that kind of get into our world, into our bodies, into our culture that make people sick, unhealthy. And we often think of toxic things as chemicals, but when it comes to the culture and the things that impact our lives, our minds, our spirits, our emotions, there are a lot of different kind of toxins. And we want to be aware of those things in order that we can become healthier people in body, soul, mind, and spirit. So a couple of weeks ago, I started out this series by talking about sin as kind of the great toxin, the toxin that has impacted and infected all of creation. And in the book of Romans, Paul said that through the impact of sin, death spread. It's almost like an infection that just spread out through all of creation and touches everything. And we're seeing the ravages of that toxin, of that infection in so many different aspects of life in our culture today. So many people suffering in so many different ways from all kinds of things that we kind of put on the broad spectrum of mental illness, emotional illness, suicide, depression, anxiety, and it goes on and on and on. And we just have to say there's something going on that's making people sick. And what are those dimensions of some of those toxins? And so last week we looked at individualism, toxic individualism, this emphasis in our culture on the me first, the me mentality. Everything is about me, and we become so centered on ourselves or our own families, our own issues, that we forget that we are part of a larger system. And when we become so individualistic, we begin to break down the very systems that we need in order to support the individuals in our society. Today, I want to look at toxic relationships. Toxic relationships. Now, when I'm talking about relationships, I am talking about our human relationships. But the fact of the matter is we are relational beings, and we relate to a lot more than just other people. Now, some of us have toxic human relationships. We go from one bad relationship to another. We're going out with one guy who is really bad news. He's not good for us. We finally break up with him, and we go out with someone who's just like him. We just keep going from one bad toxic relationship to another. And that is one aspect of it, but that is not all that we relate to in our lives. We relate to our jobs, we relate to our families, we relate to all manner of substances and things. And the problem is when something that we are in a relationship with takes on the wrong size in our relational sphere of life, or takes on the wrong position of prominence in our lives. we get out of balance with our relational lives when the wrong thing becomes the most important thing. The Bible has a word for this. It's called idolatry. Idolatry is the number one sin, putting something or someone ahead of God in our lives. That thing or that person becomes an idol. And the Bible warns us against idolatry, making anything or anyone more important in our lives than God. The Bible says when we commit idolatry, our relationships get out of balance. We lose our perspective on what makes for healthy people in our time. So we have to ask ourselves, is there really something or somebody that we think about much more than we should, that has taken some kind of a center place that we, instead of something maybe we want, it has now become something we need in order to feel good about ourselves, in order to function in this world? And if so, it may well be that it has become an idol. And when that idol takes such a center part in our lives, the inevitable result is that we develop an addiction. An addiction is when we need something of this world in order to function. And it may be a chemical, it may be a position, it may be a hobby, it may be a person. But we become so consumed by that idol, by that other relationship, that it pushes God completely out of the picture and we become unhealthy. There was an editorial recently in the Chicago Tribune that caught my attention, and it starts out this way: time to face it, we've become a nation of addicts. The addictions are of the mind, body, and soul. There are so many addictions, it's hard to list them all. Alcohol, tobacco, vaping, sugar, fat, junk food, sex and pornography, gambling, the internet, video games, prescription drugs, including sedatives, hypnotics, sleeping pills, tranquilizers, street drugs, cocaine, cannabis, meth, PCP, compulsive aggression, kleptomania, pyromania, work, and the list goes on and on and on. And if we are not addicted, we're addicted to enabling the addicts in our lives. We have become a nation of addicts. Goes on to say, addiction is a disease, a chronic one, in which actual physiological and chemical changes take over our brains and bodies. It begins, this is interesting, it begins in a search for escape, pleasure, relief, or meaning. It begins in a search for escape, pleasure, relief, or meaning, and it ends in dependence, unhappiness, and sometimes death. Idolatry leads to addiction, leads to dependence, leads to death. And we've become a nation of addicts. Some form or some fashion. Again, the issue is that we've put the wrong thing at the center of our relational lives. Something or someone else has become the center of who we are. And so we need that thing in order to function in the world. Back in the 1600s, there was a French mathematician and a theologian named Blaise Pascal. And Pascal wrote something that is so fascinating. And he's talking about our addictions, our cravings. He says, what else does this craving and this helplessness proclaim but that there was once in man, forgive the sexist language, there was once in man a true happiness of which all that now remains is the empty print or trace. This he tries in vain to fill with everything around him, though none can help, since this infinite abyss can be filled only with an infinite and immutable object, in other words, by God himself. What Pascal is saying is that in the center of each and every one of us is a God-shaped hole, a God-shaped space that can only be filled by God, because it's God-shaped. We are made for God. We are made by and for God. And God has put inside of each one of us this God-shaped space that can only be filled by God. And when God occupies that center spot in our lives, it leads then to right and proper relationships with everyone and everything else. But when we try to bring something or someone else into that center God-shaped spot that isn't God, it simply doesn't satisfy us. It doesn't fill us because it's the wrong thing. And then our relationships begin to lose their proper perspective. And other things begin to take over. Centuries earlier, St. Augustine said, "My heart is restless until it finds its rest in you, O God." My heart is restless. Why? Because it's God-shaped. And when we're trying to fill it with someone or something else, it just doesn't satisfy us. We develop cravings. We need more and more and more and more. And no matter how much we get, whether it's money, alcohol, sex, attention, whatever it is, it simply doesn't satisfy us, and it often makes us hungrier. In our text this morning, the Apostle Paul says something that is so profound. He says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds." What Paul is talking about is how we should rightly relate to the things of this world. The world says you need more and more of something of this world in order to be happy, in order to be satisfied. Maybe it's more education, more friends, more money, more food, more alcohol, more drug, more of something of this world is what is needed in order for you to really be you, to really be satisfied. And so because we want to fit in with the other people around us, we begin looking for those things that the world is saying you need in order to be complete. The apostle says, we need a transformation of our thinking. We need to look at the world much differently. We need a God perspective on our lives in order to find the fulfillment that the world simply does not offer us. We need to cut ourselves off from the toxic relationships that the world has fed to us and begin to reorient ourselves around a proper relationship that begins with our relationship with God. And here's what happens. When we begin to put God back in his proper place in the center of our lives, the other relationships of our lives fall into their proper perspective, and we find the strength to either put something where it properly belongs or simply get rid of it altogether. The cravings that we need for the things that are destroying us suddenly begin to disappear. And those things that are really healthy parts of our lives, but peripheral, find their place into that proper place of relationship. Our toxic relationships suddenly get filtered through the proper relationship with God so that we become healthy people again. Do not be conformed to the world. Don't go chasing after the things that the world says you need to have in order to be happy, because God has already given you that. We need that kind of transformation in our lives to break the power of these unhealthy, toxic relationships. And friends, the power is there. The power is there. Back in 1938, 35 in Toledo, Ohio. A couple of guys were struggling with the addiction to alcohol. Bill Wilson and Robert Smith, Dr. Robert Smith, who became better known as Bill W. and Dr. Bob, sat down and said, you know, we believe that this craving for alcohol, this addiction that we have, is fundamentally a spiritual issue. It's not just a chemical issue. It certainly has become that. But underlying that, there is a spiritual dimension to our addiction. And they began to think, what would be the steps to reorient ourselves in a proper relationship? And so they developed these 12 steps. Many of you are very familiar with the recovery movement that has gone from just simply around alcohol to all kinds of things that people find themselves addicted to. And in each and every case, people have discovered that underneath the physiological dependency is actually a spiritual emptiness that is driving the power of the addiction. And so the first three steps are the steps of resizing ourselves, refitting ourselves with Christ at the center. It says we admit we are powerless over alcohol or whatever that is, that our lives have become unmanageable. We come to believe that there is a power greater than ourselves that can restore us to health and sanity. And we make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. In essence, the first three steps are the most important ones because that's putting God back in the center of it all. Taking Christ, who maybe was non-existent in our lives, or somewhere out in the peripheral, and bringing Christ back into the center. When we put our relationship with Christ front center in that God-shaped hole, we begin to find a new profound strength and health that has been escaping us. All of the wonderful things of this world, as good as they may be, simply cannot fill us at the deepest place. We need Jesus Christ to be at the center of it all.